What environmentalists fear from the incoming Donald Trump administration. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast through the WJCT app. Just ahead, the group Earth to Trump is traveling the country to oppose President-elect Trump's environmental stance. They say they'll stop in St. Augustine this weekend. We'll get on the line with them in a moment. You can join us as well. Call us up at 549-2937. Speaking of the environment, an upcoming panel discussion on climate change in Jacksonville, courtesy of local activist Matt Colicello, and public radio favorites. We'll hear from the band Pink Martini ahead of their concert next week at the Florida Theater. All of that ahead. But first this hour, on the heels of President-elect Donald Trump's contentious press conference yesterday, a coalition of groups says they're organizing to oppose him. This is billed as a cross-country roadshow of resistance to the incoming president. The group Earth to Trump is coming to St. Augustine Sunday as its caravan of speakers and performers makes its way and stops across America, headed toward the Trump inauguration on January 20th in the nation's capital, where more protests are expected. Bill Hamilton is with the Environmental Youth Council of St. Augustine, and he's on the line with a preview. Bill, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And to our callers, what are your thoughts about the incoming Trump administration? As we speak with the group Earth to Trump, give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, weigh in on our Facebook page. And Bill Hamilton, as I mentioned, this event is coming to St. Augustine Sunday. It's called Earth to Trump. Let me ask you about this, because so far as the transition period unfolds, President-elect Trump has been getting a lot of attention for perceived conflicts of interest with his business interests around the world. This latest bombshell about a Russian dossier alleging to have compromising material on the president-elect, which he denies, and a host of other controversies. However, your group, the Environmental Youth Council of St. Augustine, and a coalition of other groups, you're mobilizing this weekend around the issue of the environment and the incoming president's positions on the environment. Can you tell us why this coalition is forming?
Yes, of course. And first, this event is being sponsored by the Center for Biological Diversity. It's a nonprofit centered in Tucson, Arizona, that has focused on protecting wild places and endangered species. Environmental Youth Council has worked with them in the past, and the Earth to Trump Roadshow is not an organization apart from them. And organizations, Matanzas River People, the Unitarian Universalist Community, St. Augustine, and others have agreed to come together in response to the Trump administration's signals that they intend to dismantle and undo a lot of the environmental gains that have been made over the past decades. Climate change, the Trump administration, they have signaled that this is not a priority for them. In fact, they challenged the scientific community's conclusions that this is a threat, and land conservation issues, they tend to make it easier to mine for coal, for oil, and gas. Fracking versus an issue. Took us a long time and a lot of work to protect the first Jacksonville and St. Augustine from offshore drilling, and most recently seismic testing. All of these issues are being signaled by the Trump administration to come under the hatchet. So this event is not an I hate Donald Trump event. This is not to trash the Trump administration or to challenge the election in any way. It's rather in response to his signal, signal back that these issues are important to us. We have worked hard for them, and we're not going away, and neither are the issues. So we encourage all people to come out that have concerns about environmental issues and send a message back to the Trump. We're lobbying the Trump administration that these issues are important to us. We're ground zero for the effects of global warming and climate change, as we have recently witnessed with Hurricane Matthew. So these are important issues, and this is an opportunity for for people to reach out to him and ask him to take a second look at this.
We'll go to your calls in a moment. For Bill Hamilton about the Earth to Trump movement coming to St. Augustine this weekend, it's 549-2937. This is a national caravan going around the country. It started on the West Coast. It will end in Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day. And as you said, Florida certainly is ground zero when it comes to the impacts of sea level rise and climate change. You say you express great concern about what the president-elect's position will be on environmental issues. He has he did initially pledge to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords, although he seems to have backpedaled slightly on that since making that initial statement. What would you say to those who think your concerns are overblown, that you need to give the new president a chance before he's even he hasn't even been inaugurated yet?
I'm happy to give the president a chance. Our concerns are in response.
Bill, this is a really bad connection. Can you speak right into the phone? We're having a little trouble hearing you.
Yes, I can speak right into the phone. We are perfectly willing to give the president a chance, and this event is in response to the signals that he has sent in advance of his inauguration. Look, we all depend on the scientific community for our health and welfare. Advances in medicine, communication, transportation, the military depends on the scientific community. Governor Scott claimed not to be a scientist, but when Tim Deegan, 5 days out from Hurricane Matthew's landfall, started to predict accurately based on the algorithm models that are being used by the scientific community all over the world to predict climate change and weather, when Tim predicted, we need to start getting ready. Governor Scott responded to that. He went on the radio and in an impassioned speech said, "This is a serious threat. Do not toy with this. This is a matter of life and death." And it encouraged people to act proactively to the threat or hurricane. The same scientific community, the same group of people are telling us climate change is a much broader threat, a bigger threat to the health and welfare of the whole world. And for us to have an administration and leaders that refuse to acknowledge that, you can't pick and choose what you want to believe that comes out of the scientific community. We depend on all the rest of it every day. We all have cell phones. We all get on a plane and fly depending on the advances made by the scientific community and satellite technology and all the rest, all the modeling that they use to get us close to safely. And in medicine, we depend on that unquestioningly. And now there's a group because it's going to cost the oil industry to make the transition to clean energy away from carbon energy. But that's a cost that we need to bear. It's something that we have to do. And to ignore the threats and to ignore the warnings from the scientific community is irresponsible. And that's our message to the president-elect. And we would hope that, like his position on the Paris Climate Accord, he'd rethink those things. And that's the purpose and that's the value of these kinds of events, is to have everyday people that are ground zero for these effects be able to reach out to him and send him a message.
Let's go to your calls now for the Earth to Trump movement coming to St. Augustine Sunday afternoon. This is a cross-country road show stopping in some 16 cities, making its way toward Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day, organized by the Center for Biological Diversity. We want your calls at 549-2937. Steve is on the South Side. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. I thought that your question was going to be, what do we expect from the Trump administration? And I think the best preview you got of that was his news conference yesterday. What the friends of Trump would call his unconventional approach. You saw from the news conference yesterday someone who's completely reckless, undisciplined, and self-aggrandizing. And I think that is exactly what we're going to be seeing in every appearance and every action that he takes during his hopefully very short term.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. It's striking to note Bill Hamilton Opponents of Donald Trump certainly agree with Steve. Fans and voters for Donald Trump see someone completely different. They see a guy who, in their words, put the media in its place yesterday during the news conference at Trump Tower. They like his style. This is a really polarizing president before he's even assumed the presidency. So as your movement coalesces around these issues of biological diversity in the environment, how do you reach out not just to guys like Steve who are sympathetic to your message, but to people who the environment isn't at the top of their suite of issues and they like President Trump?
It's not, as far as we're concerned, it's not a matter of liking President-elect Trump or his style. It's a matter of the issues that are going to affect us all. And it's a challenge, and that's why the United States is lagging behind other countries like China and like Russia and most of Europe in transitioning to a clean energy economy. We have been influenced by the oil industry, both politically and socially, and there is a lot of misinformation out there that should be addressed. People owe it to themselves to look. Seriously, you can go online and in half an hour you can see the latest research on climate change and its effects globally. There is no discussion, there's no war, there's no controversy around climate change anymore. That's over with. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, we all depend on these people every day for weather, for transportation, for communication. The latest report came out for November, the warmest landmass temperatures in recorded history, and the rate of warming is accelerating. We're going to have to make adjustments, and it's going to be within many of our lifetimes that are beyond reckoning, beyond comprehension, when we get 4 feet of sea level rise within the next 30-40 years. 4 feet of sea level rise, what that's going to mean for coastal communities, not just in the United States, but all over the world, and what that's going to do to world stability. It's going to be a very destabilizing event. It's something that is in our future. It's baked into the system. There's no getting around it. It's not going to go away. And our only response to that, the only demographic that matters at this point, is the only thing that we can do is reduce global warming gases, greenhouse gases, and reduce our consumption of oil. That's the only card that we have left to play. And the sooner we recognize that and make a transition to clean energy, the better. So this is the fact, it's not going to affect just people who voted against Donald Trump. It's going to affect people who voted for him. So this is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue.
But it is. It is, Bill. I mean, let's be honest. It is a partisan issue. Climate and sea level rise, very partisan. For example, the local organization, the Northeast Florida Regional Planning Council, when they go around the region and they try to talk about long-term development trends and advise people on how to build and develop and how to plan, they've learned the hard way that when they talk about long-term threats and opportunities, they don't even say the words climate change in meetings with some business groups because people immediately tune out. They don't believe in the science. They don't believe that human activity is contributing to a warming climate. So groups like that council and others, what they do is they talk about sea level rise. They use the phrase sea level rise only because that's something universally anyone can sort of get their head around and have a concern about. So given that it is an incredibly politicized and divisive issue, are you hoping with this movement to bring people to your side that are not already on board? How do you plan to go about doing that?
Well, the events are going to drive the conversation, and it's going to be sooner than later. When Governor Scott went on the radio a day and a half before Hurricane Matthew landed, it was not a politicized issue. It wasn't political. He got on the radio and said, you have to pay attention to these groups of scientists who are telling us, based on their models, that there's going to be a hurricane come really close to us, and there's going to be impacts, and your life is in danger. And if you choose to ignore this, you're being irresponsible. You're putting yourself and others at risk. It's exactly the same, except writ large. So this is not the first time that we've witnessed bad leadership. I mean, there have been people who have denied the cigarette industry fought tooth and nail that smoking cigarettes were bad for you for 40 years, and they were very successful. But finally, you can't deny that if you smoke cigarettes, your health risks go up dramatically. So, I mean, if the Northeast Florida Regional Planning chooses to ignore the science of this, shame on them.
No. They're not ignoring that. No. You misunderstood me. They're not ignoring the science. They accept the science. What they've learned, though, is when they go around and talk about this issue with lots of different groups, they have to talk about it in a certain way. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. And so that's why I was trying to make the point that it's a very politicized, divisive issue. Unfortunately, it simply is.
I agree.
Okay, and go ahead.
But at the end of the day, it's not going to be politicized. I mean, there's going to be blame. There's going to be name-calling and finger-pointing and all the rest, because the events are going to begin to drive the situation. And the economic response to those events is that they become more and more expensive. The longer we wait, more and more expensive. And the people who are choosing to politicize this, unfortunately, are the people who are gaining short-term profits by continuing the programs that we have in place today. I think Donald Trump has signaled that he would intend to open the Atlantic to offshore drilling and seismic testing. We thought this is not good for Northeast Florida. This is not good for St. Augustine. They seismic test the thousands of dead dolphins washed up on the beach. Can you imagine the publicity that would have, the negative publicity to the tourist industry? I mean, now is the time to move away while we still have some opportunity to make a difference in the amount of sea level rise that we are facing with a certainty that is undeniable.
All right. And if you're just tuning in as we speak with St. Augustine activist Bill Hamilton in advance of Sunday's Earth to Trump roadshow coming to the St. Augustine Amphitheater, what are your thoughts about the incoming administration and its environmental policies? 549-2937. Let's go to Tracy in Mandarin now. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning. I feel we have a president who has money, no education. He doesn't know even what is Russia. He doesn't know what is this climate, global climate. So we are in disaster, so we'll bear it. I hope 6 months from now there is some rule. The country is in disaster. They can remove the president. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. John is in St. Augustine. Hi, John. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I'm concerned not just about climate change, which is exacerbated by burning coal, but you know, a lot of us around here like to fish, and there's a tremendous buildup of mercury in the environment, which is tainting our fish and is particularly poisonous to children. And it's been a long time coming, the need to regulate power plants to keep them from putting more mercury and other toxics into our air, and I'm concerned that the position of this new administration, and particularly the appointee they have come up with for heading up EPA, is going to shut down the efforts to try to provide more controls on coal burning.
John, thanks. Bill Hamilton, is Earth to Trump going to talk at all about President-elect Trump's choice to lead the EPA?
I'm sure that is a concern to the people who are speaking at this event. And if I'm not mistaken, John, who was just on the phone from St. Augustine, is John Hankinson, who was the past regional director of the EPA for the Southeast. So I appreciate your comments, John. Always a pleasure to hear you speak for environmental concerns. So, yes, to put the
to put a person who was in charge of developing the oil industry in charge of the EPA when he has been a climate denier for years and years, that, of course, is of concern. Yes. And one other comment, Melissa. You described me as a local activist. Really, I'm just I'm a small business owner in St. Augustine that grew up in this area and has seen the changes over the years that have been detrimental. And a lot of those bad changes have been because of bad planning decisions. And the reason that I'm concerned, the reason that I have gotten involved is because I don't want those to be worse. I owe our kids and grandkids to leave them a place that was just as good as we had when we grew up here. And at this point, I don't see that. And it's
what
shame
do you
on
see?
Us.
What do you see when you look at this area 20, 30 years from now? What do you see?
I see a sea level rise that has going to significantly change the downtown area of St. Augustine. There's going to be beach erosion. There are going to be more powerful storms. Who knows how many increase the number, but the intensities are sure going to be increased. We're going to have water shortages. The whole climate system is changing, and we got about half as much rainfall this year as we normally would have. And once those new patterns are locked in, that's where we are for a long time. That is since the beginning of human experience in this area, thousands of years ago. Those systems, once they change, we can't get them back. So we're playing with fire is what we're doing, and we're being irresponsible to our future generations for short-term profit.
Let's go now to Mike in Arlington. Hi, Mike. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks. Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
First, I want to say that I'm in agreement with your guest. I mean, I think I buy into the validity of climate science, and I understand there's a problem, but just listening to what you're saying, while I think the name Trump to Earth or Earth to Trump is pretty catchy, and I think it's funny, I think that you really need to, a lot of people are asking you how you're going to bridge this gap, and I'm not hearing a lot of answers other than you getting more emphatic about how urgent it is. And that's just what everybody on our side of this issue, that's the approach we all seem to be taking, and it's not working. I mean, just having rallies that preach to the choir isn't going to broaden your base. It isn't going to help you solve the problem. As Melissa mentioned, when the Regional Planning Council talks, they have to change their wording. And it occurs to me that one of the problems with changing that wording is it makes the whole issue sound more inevitable rather than something that we can deal with, but that's what we're stuck with. And I would encourage you to be looking for better ways to engage people that are either in the center, maybe not aware of the issue, or that are still questioning it rather than getting more emphatic. Because, we saw what happened with the election. It just turned people off. I'd like to hear more about how you're going to try to engage people that maybe can be flipped or that can be attracted over to understanding of the issue. And I'll take the answer off the air. I hope it didn't come off wrong. I'm just interested in hearing more about what you're going to do to make it more than just a rah-rah rally for the already converted.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, thanks for that. I think that's a great question. Bill Hamilton, and any movement, of course, let's be clear, whether it's an environmental movement or any movement, has the challenge of preaching beyond the converted. But when it comes to an issue as serious as a warming climate and sea level rise, of course, which you're very concerned about, obviously, that will affect so many people, how do you bring those that might be sympathetic over, and it is rallying and a caravan and a social media campaign and hashtag. How are you going to go beyond that?
Well, of course he's right. I get tired of preaching to the choir, and I think that the only thing that I'm to do is to speak to the people that I see in my business and my neighbors and people that I come in contact with one person at a time. And you talk, I try to be a reasonable person and a good business person. And I belong to a Rotary Club. And I'm not an extremist. I'm activated because I see this. I've paid attention to this issue for a long time, and I see that it's becoming more and more urgent. And I agree. I'm emphatic when I start. My family sometimes tells me to shut up. I mean, we've heard enough. But I think that it's all of our responsibility to educate ourselves about this issue and speak to our neighbors and to speak to our elected officials and hold them accountable for this, because that's what they ran on. They chose to be our spokesperson and our advocate and to best represent the health and welfare of our community. And at this point, we're not getting that. So, you know, I was turned off by the election, too. I didn't like all that. For me, I'm not personalizing this issue. I'm not calling people who are on the fence or who have been misled or don't know. I don't think that they're bad people. They're my neighbors. So it's encouraging people to educate themselves. They don't have to rely on me. I mean, I'm not a climate scientist. I've just paid attention to the details and listened to people in other areas. I rely on them for the weather. I rely when I get on a plane. I'm confident that scientific community
and
our best interests at heart.
All right. Let me just jump in. Let's get a few more people on the air as we talk about the Sunday rally in St. Augustine, part of a national cross-country series of events under the hashtag Earth to Trump. Let's go to Conrad on the north side now. Hi, Conrad. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to add a little lighter note on this long-range planning and the tidal rise, et cetera, and point back to what the end result of the Florida land boom and bust that led to the Great Depression was. That was the selling of gopher holes on swamp land to unwitting carpetbaggers and Yankees who many times never even saw the property down here.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we bought beautiful pieces of property in this county by writing letters to addresses where people were paying taxes somewhere up north, and we'd get letters back saying that they could not believe that anybody would invest in property in Florida with the way they had watched people get burned, just like they did with the people who react the same way to investing in stocks. This is not the first time we've been through this. The Napoleon Bonaparte Broward administration changed the boundary lines of ownership to the low tide mark meander line, added millions of acres for about 15 years to the tax rolls in the state of Florida, creating a windfall for the state of Florida. But anyway, I just wanted to input this as a slight twist on the whole situation with proper planning.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Conrad. I appreciate that. Let's go now to Zach, also in St. Augustine. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for this conversation. So
sure.
I'm a federally permitted and state permitted marine mammal researcher and fishery researcher. I do this work right in our backyard here. And it's my opinion that you've got deniers about the decline of the environment. You've got people that don't pay attention to it because they think that there's folks out there working for them. And I think that's great as well. And then you have the activists. I've made my living. I'm a small business owner. I do environmental tours here. And we are seeing the environment decline. And I think, if anything, this is a call to action. Those that are on the fence that are raising their children here for the natural beauty of this area and to spend time outside, this is a call to action. We know that under this administration, the environment is going to suffer for short-term environmental gains. And this is a call to action to say, hey, I can't be on the fence anymore. I got to speak up for this beautiful habitat, for the creatures that live within it, and for the health of our children. And that's my comment.
Zach, thank you for that. We're getting emails saying, making the same types of sentiments. Here's one from Ricardo. A decade has passed between the Kyoto and Paris agreements. He's referring to two landmark climate accords signed by countries all over the world. The upcoming administration could set the world back another decade. Time is running out, he writes the show. Bill Hamilton, I'm going to take a couple more calls. Let's go to Josh. A lot of calls from St. John's County this morning. Josh in St. Augustine. Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And, yeah, so I called you as your guest. I have two points to make. One is when you talk about people not believing in science, science isn't a belief system. Science is actually a system of rational thinking. It's really, people need to stop talking about it that way. And so, you know, you don't believe science, you verify science. And this is verifiable science. And I think we got to just be careful with the belief word there. But my second point is that the analogy of smoking, I think, is very strong because the propaganda of oil is truly what's keeping people from accepting this understanding. And I have another analogy. I actually wrote a book called Climate Change, Spaceship Earth. And your speaker was talking about systems. If people understood Earth's systems like it were a spaceship, if you were on a spaceship and your power system's out, you're going to fix it. Well, we are on a spaceship. It's called Earth. It's our only spaceship. And we need to fix certain systems before they're irrevocably broken. And so I just think the power of analogy. So one of your callers asked about solutions. I think we have to talk to youth. And we have to educate. And so education is the solution. And that's why I wrote that book, Climate Change, Spaceship Earth. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Here's a similar email for you, Bill. It's from Rob in Murray Hill. He writes, while I appreciate the advocacy for the environment, new studies show that presenting facts actually will drive opponents in the opposite direction and cause them to dig in deeper. As an environmental scientist and a Southern-raised country boy, we need new tools to present to the public. I hope we find them soon. He's right. They have studied this issue of talking about climate science to groups who are, as Josh said, even though it's verifiable science, for whatever reason, people don't accept it. The more you present the facts around climate to people that don't buy it, the more they hold the views that it's not a problem. And so that brings me back to my original point. As Earth to Trump crosses the country, you face the challenge when it comes to this environmental message of going beyond those who are already on board the caravan. However, this is coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock at the St. Augustine Amphitheater, and then we'll move on to other cities. Tell us quickly what all is going to be happening Sunday.
Well, there's going to be artists and musicians and speakers representing the last caller was exactly correct. Opinion bias is a problem, and people pick and choose to verify what they already believe, not on verifiable science. So we have to change up our messaging, kind of reinvent the message. It can't always be doom and gloom. All we are, I mean, there's plenty of that out there too. So we have to be able to reach out to our neighbors and the community at large, as well as the elected officials. And so we'll have artists and music, and with their two food trucks and the theater, the vendors, beer and wine and sodas. There's going to be a lot of kids. It's free and open to the public. And I think this is an opportunity for people to educate themselves and to have an afternoon in Springsteen. So we encourage everybody to come out.
Okay. Bill Hamilton, thanks for joining us by phone from St. John's County this morning.
Thank you very much.
And much more still ahead later. Public radio favorites Pink Martini play the Florida Theater. I'll listen to their music. But up next, Matt Colicello, founder of the Global Workshop.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Goodwill of North Florida. Donate, shop, jobs. Good things for North Florida with Goodwill. Proud supporters of WJCT's First Coast Connect. GoodwillJax.org for more info.
Jim Puckett helped uncover what happens to our old laptops and smartphones.
There's recycling and there's recycling. It can be done really badly.
He put GPS devices in old American electronics and found they were being dumped in other countries, violating an international treaty.
This toxic trade follows the path of least economic resistance.
On the next Reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
On tonight's episode of Hometown, veteran skydiver Art Schaefer takes us on a thrilling adventure at Skydive Palatka. Kathy Godwin serves up clean foods for the health conscious and people with digestive diseases at Kathy's table. Artist Ursula Joseph sculpts lifelike dolls using polymer clay. And photography student Lucas Stanley explores ancient art through modern photography. Hometown, tonight at 8 on WJCT Public Television.
Welcome back. Well, international field educator Matt Colicello is the founder of the Global Workshop. He connects people and ideas across borders as a way to engage citizens on issues of importance. One of those issues is climate change. Yes, we're going to keep talking about this. Colicello documented the front lines of climate change and its impacts in Asia with an exhibit of photos and videos that's now on display at the Jacksonville Public Library. He's going to moderate a panel discussion at the library about it this weekend. This talk is titled, The Climate is Changing, Are You? Matt Colicello, good to see you. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What are your questions for the Global Workshop's Matt Colicello? Get on the line now at 549-2937. Now, you travel the world as part of your work, and you just got back from a trip to
India and Indonesia. Yes.
This exhibit, which is up at the library, is a work you put together, video displays and photographs,
right,
documenting climate impacts. What are people seeing in this exhibit?
Well, I didn't set out, with a partisan concern, or a political concern, I should say, for the environment or climate change. About 8 years ago, I was studying human rights in college at Northwestern. We're both alums.
That's right.
And I was in West Africa, in the country of Mali, and I saw the effects of climate change firsthand, but people there weren't talking about it as that. They were just saying, oh, everything is changing. The rain doesn't come on time. The desert, the Sahara Desert, is expanding southward into our fields. And this observations were then echoed everywhere I went in the world. I ended up living and working in India for 5 years, in Indonesia for a few years. And everywhere I went, whether it was the Himalayas or in communities that live next to coral reefs in Southeast Asia, everyone was saying, things are changing. The coral reefs are dying. The fish are disappearing. The glaciers are melting. And so this exhibit is a way of telling the stories of those people directly to Americans here in our community.
We are a global village, but you're one of the few people that actually lives that reality. You actually travel the world. Most of us can get sort of tunnel visioned just looking at our own little community.
Right.
You're trying to give people a look at the impacts worldwide. And people, when they see it, they might be more inclined to believe it. So you're showing images. What do the images show?
The images are all portraits, people that I've worked with for many years, looking directly into the camera. So when they're up in the gallery, it's actually you making direct eye contact with these people. And then next to them, you see excerpts from the interviews that I did with them, and a little bit of context. Yeah, so you have a fisherman from Southeast Asia talking about how the fact that the coral reef is all bleached and the fish are disappearing means that he doesn't know how he will provide for his family or how his children will continue their way of life. You know, so it's not political. It's not about who's in office. It's about the fact that this is simply happening, and it's affecting those who live most closely to the environment, closer to the poles and closer to the equator. now, faster than it is to us.
People in those parts of the globe are feeling the impacts more strongly already. The
yes.
Inuit tribe up in up near the North Pole,
exactly.
They're having to relocate habitats already because
yes.
the ice is disappearing where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Have you? I don't know if you've been to that part of the world, but we've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, I haven't. The place where I've dealt with ice disappearing is in the Himalayas, which are sort of the third pole, the largest store of fresh water outside of the poles. And there, I'm interviewing people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, who have literally, over the course of their lives, watched as the glaciers have melted. And some of them have already actually disappeared.
With these exhibits that you've put together on behalf of your organization, the Global Workshop, what is the goal for you?
The goal for me is to bypass our highly divisive and partisan dialogue about climate change in the United States with direct personal experience of people who are experiencing the results of climate change, but who don't even know maybe that term. You know, it's just their experience, but it's going to be all of our experiences.
Let's go to some calls now for Matt Colicello of the Global Workshop. He'll lead a panel discussion on climate this Sunday at the Jacksonville Public Library.
Saturday.
Thank you. David is in Mandarin. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so you know, I'm a little bit of a climate change. I wouldn't say a denier, but a bit of a skeptic. And you know, maybe you can practice your education on me. But you know, the way I see it is, the Earth has so many variables that there's no control in this scientific experiment. And just like in a weather forecast, you know, it's not that accurate past 10 days. Okay, so there are so many variables about, oh, the CO2 is rising. Shouldn't plants make plants get bigger and absorb more carbon? You know, there's endless possibilities. And I think a lot of the reason that people are, you know, a little opposed to this isn't so much that, hey, carbon dioxide makes the Earth warmer, but that we need to just let the government take over all of this and give them all this control to just take care of everything. And I think that's kind of what gets me stuck up on is like, you know, because it's not that it's not happening and won't hurt people, but, you know, I'm just not sure, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, let the government just take care of all our problems. They did so good with I-95. They're doing such a good job.
Right.
Okay, I hear you, David. Okay, so that's David. Okay, thanks for that call, David. So how do you, when you talk about this stuff, what about David's point? What about his point of view?
Well, David, thank you for that point. I mean, I'm definitely not advocating to let the government take over every aspect of our lives. In fact, I would be actually completely against that idea. I'm concerned about people whose lives are being affected by climate change. I'm concerned about my own children's lives and my grandchildren's lives here in the United States. So what I'm advocating for is that citizens engage the issues, look at what is going on, not just from the scientific community, because I recognize there's doubt about the agenda of the scientific community, although I don't share your doubts about that, but I do share your concern for the politicization and the governmental implications of how climate change can be used. So I encourage people to look at what's actually happening for non-scientists in climate change, highly climate change affected areas.
And as your exhibit shows, when it comes to someone's back door, they become a believer. In fact, the Journal of the Scientific American just published a study last month in December. Public perception of climate change is shaped by the weather that people experience.
Yes.
If you live in an area where you see the water coming in, or you see the ice melting, or you see massive disruptions into long-established patterns, you're much more likely to buy. People need to see it to believe it.
In fact, there's nothing to buy. It's simply that it's happening to you,
right?
So I would encourage David and other listeners who may feel similarly to David to come to this discussion. It is not a partisan discussion. We are focusing on what is happening and then how can we, as people aspiring to be critically engaged citizens, deal with that at the community level and also looking at it nationally and globally.
This is coming up Saturday at the main library. It's called The Climate is Changing RU.
Yeah.
At what time?
At 3 p.m.
3 o'clock.
3 to 5, yeah.
Let's take one or two more calls for Matt Colicello of the Global Workshop. Denise is in Palatka. Hi, Denise.
Hello. I'm a third-generation Floridian, and I'm from the Fort Lauderdale area, born and raised down there, and Navy, my whole family's Navy, and I've been riding my bicycle for 48 years because my dad was, I was health and safety in the Navy, my dad was health and safety in the Navy. I just happen to be the first female in our family line to be in the Navy, but I gave up scuba diving 10 years ago because it's so polluted. And the gentleman that called in earlier that said that the reefs are no longer white, they're not. You can't see them above the surface, but it's affecting all the little nursery fish in our little tiny places where the sea turtles are nurtured from when they first hatch out and they're only an inch big. You know, they're out there.
Absolutely.
It's brown or black, and even the stuff that was growing that used to be green or some beautiful color of yellow or red down there of a natural, like a piece of coral, colorful coral, it's black.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's very sad.
And most people don't see that, Denise, unless they're like you. But that, yeah, and thanks for that call. That's one example that you meant. Thanks, Denise. That's Denise in Palatka. Coral reefs around the world are dying, and they're no longer healthy.
Yeah, I've seen it myself in reefs in Southeast Asia. And again, imagine if your livelihood was based on the produce you're able to, or the resources that you're harvesting from the coral reef. If the reef dies, so do the resources. And people don't realize that the reefs are dying not just because the sea temperature is rising as a result of global warming, but the ocean is also, in a way, swallowing some of that extra carbon that's in the environment. That makes the ocean more acidic and in turn dissolves the calcium carbonate structure of coral.
Lots more to talk about, but we do need to just let this sit as a preview to Matt Colicello's talk at the Jacksonville Public Library downtown on Saturday at 3 p.m. The Climate is Changing RU. Free event, and thanks for being with us to tell us about it.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
And finally this hour, they cross the genres of classical jazz and old-fashioned pop. Public radio favorites Pink Martini play the Florida Theater next Tuesday, January 17th. They feature a dozen instrumentalists and perform a multilingual repertoire on concert stages and symphony orchestras all over the globe. Sometimes NPR's own Ari Shapiro even sits in with the band. Lead singer China Forbes talked to me a little bit about the band's new album, Je Dis Oui.
Je Dis Oui is an album that is sort of a return to our first album, Spirit, I would say. There was a nice ease with which we recorded it, and it's just a really uplifting album. The title Je Dis Oui means I say yes, so that's sort of our mantra.
That's China Forbes, lead singer of Pink Martini. If you haven't heard of them, you need to go see this show. They're a lot of fun, and they're also pretty interesting activists, too. It's Pink Martini, Tuesday, January 17th at the Florida Theater. We're going to close with some of their music. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to our daily podcast through the WJCT app. And next on 1A, what's behind the dossier that claims Russia has been cultivating President-elect Trump for at least 5 years. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 for our Friday roundtable. And take a little listen to Pink Martini. Have a great day.
The sun's going down with its deep umber light, embracing the town as we fall into night to the silvery sound as the birds. The city of night, it is the city of night. Leave the worries of day behind and dream a new dream tonight.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.